From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. Hundreds of volunteers across Sacramento County recently hit the streets to get a snapshot of the unhoused population. It's part of the federally required point-in-time count, or PIT count, which is a critical resource used to secure funding for local homelessness initiatives. Here's what Sacramento Supervisor Rich Desmond told Cap Radio reporter Riley Palmer on Monday night.
It gives us a sense, it's not a perfect science, about how many unsheltered homeless are out in our community. It's important, obviously, for us to do this. It helps identify services we need, really what the need is.
But the count isn't just about collecting data. It also provides the chance for people experiencing homelessness to share their experiences with elected officials and other residents and volunteers, people like Eric Rock.
I'm not welcome in many stores, and I understand the reason. There's places nearby that will straight up tell you our restroom is not in order for you. For us to keep a positive attitude or be productive and want to help solve the problem is nearly impossible when you're treated like that all day long.
Now, the point-in-time count happened earlier this week, and it isn't perfect. It's acknowledged to be a conservative snapshot or undercount of the overall homeless population and has faced skepticism the last time it was done back in 2024, which showed a 29% drop in overall homelessness. This year's count will also be the last time Sacramento County does it every 2 years, as it will now become an annual event. We're going to dive a little bit deeper into how this year's count was carried out and what it could show. First, joining us is Trent Simmons, the Chief Program Officer at Sacramento Steps Forward, which carries out the point-in-time count. Welcome.
Thank you.
So people might have heard of Sacramento Steps Forward, but if they haven't, tell us about your organization and why you lead the point-in-time count.
Yeah, of course. So Sacramento Steps Forward is the lead COC agency for Sacramento County, which sounds like a lot of jargon, and it is. The COC is the continuum of care, and that is the entity that the federal government recognizes as responsible for managing federal funds to different geographies across the country. And the size of that kind of changes depending on where you are. For us, it's exactly the geography of the county, but in other cases, it's the entire state.
Outside of the point-in-time count, what else does Sacramento Steps Forward do?
So there's two technical designations that we have from the federal government. The first is called the collaborative applicant, which means that we're responsible for pulling together a competition, which is largely a self-run process to identify projects that receive federal funding to provide services. The second is the HMIS lead. And so that means that we have the responsibility to administer the database that as many homeless service providers as are willing and see that alignment to provide their data can provide that data, and we can get a sense for homelessness on an ongoing basis.
And this point-in-time count happens every 2 years. It is a snapshot to give a look of how many people are experiencing homelessness in Sacramento County on any given night, and it typically takes place in January in the evening hours. It was Monday and Tuesday this week. How did it go?
It went good. We ended up having the deployment center out of the Scottish Rite this year, and it is a large venue. And it makes a big difference when you have hundreds of volunteers that are coming in all throughout the beginning of the night to be deployed to different areas across the county. So we had the entire venue separated into different spaces, and I think ultimately it went really well.
How does this count lead to securing funding for homelessness programs and resources?
That's a big question. So I think the first step is at the federal level. It's worth mentioning that the point-in-time count is a federal requirement in order to receive funding. But the exact relationship between what your count shows and what how much funding you get kind of changes from year to year. And the algorithm, the exact calculus, isn't fully known or open. So as far, Geico's a good example of this is the HUD. They have a NOFO, a Notice of Funding Opportunity, that's released every other year, at least most recently. Usually it's annually. And that opportunity provides incentives around a competition. And depending on what your PIT count shows, gives you more or less points. But they change how many points these things are worth on a regular basis. So at the federal level, it's a bit more open-ended. At the state level, it's a bit easier. So they have the HAP funding initiative that provides dollars to COCs across the state for homeless services. And the proportion of the state's PIT count that Sacramento County's represents is the portion of that funding that we get as well.
Why is it conducted in the winter in January?
That's HUD defined. So HUD requires that the PIC count be done in the last 10 days of January for a number of reasons. The first is that if you're trying to get a better estimate of people experiencing homelessness, then in the middle of the winter, you're more likely to find people indoors or in places that are easier to find, which might be a little bit different in the summer. And then the second is that it really does kind of bring out and engage the community in ways that it may not at other times of the year.
Mm. I mean, numbers are only a snapshot. They're only a picture. What are the limitations of the point in time count that you want residents to better understand?
Visibility. It's entirely biased by visibility. And so I guess a good example of this is if you compare the 2019 to the 2022 to the 2024 PIC counts, not only are we counting people who are experiencing homelessness, but we're also counting structures, vehicles, RVs, tents, makeshift shelters that find people who are experiencing homelessness. And when we're looking at the number of structures that we find across the county, between 2019 and 2022, those numbers increased by 4 to 5 times, which makes sense because the 2022 count was done on the backswing of relieved shelter-in-place ordinances during a pandemic. Visibility was at an all-time high in Sacramento County. But between 2022 and 2024, those shelter counts, those tent counts, RV counts, vehicle counts went back down to 2019 levels. And so I wouldn't be surprised if that would have an impact. So also the weather. So, and again, it's all biased by visibility. In 2024, we had torrential rains on the first night. And this year, we didn't really have as really the same degree of weather issues, which is really helpful. So any sort of factor, whether it be enforcement or weather or policies and ordinances on the ground that impacts visibility, ultimately impacts the count. And that's one of the reasons why we try not to rely on the PIP by itself, because it is a snapshot. And with any other sample, you have a margin of error.
Yeah, I mean, there can be some pretty dramatic pendulum swings because the 2022 point in time count saw a 67% spike in the unhoused population. But then you go to 2024 and it showed a 29% drop in overall homelessness. And there was some criticism about the accuracy of the 2024 count. What were the learning lessons from that?
I think some of the learning lessons is on really understanding the role that the PIP plays and how we can combine PIP data with HMIS. Back in 2024, at the time, we didn't have really good visibility or transparency into the data that we were collecting from our homeless management information system. Again, that goes back to that federal designation that we manage that database that most of our providers who are providing homeless services are using to record that input. But now we have a regular dashboard that says, according to HMIS, this is how many people within the last month were actually engaging in homeless services. And so having the ability to bracket the truth instead of putting so much emphasis on a single count that's outdated very quickly because it happens every other year in the past, I think is one of the things that we try to do.
When do we get results of this year's count?
Typically, it's closer to the summer. There's quite a bit of data cleaning that happens, making sure that there's no duplicated counts, that any sort of drafts or test entries are deleted or converted into actual count data. So there's a lot of cleaning that happens. We typically release it in June, but the goal this year is to do it a bit sooner.
Do you have, I know it's only been a couple days, but do you have an idea if this number would be more in line with 2024 or might be higher or lower?
Nothing that I can speak to now. And again, that cleaning changes a little bit every year. There's always unique circumstances that we find with the volunteers. And so I don't know if I'd want to share anything at this point.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about Sacramento County's 2026 point in time count, which provides a snapshot of the unhoused population throughout the county. Now I want to bring in Angela Hassel, the executive director of Sacramento Loaves and Fishes. It's one of the largest homelessness providers in the area. Welcome back, Angela.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so the point in time count, as I mentioned, just happened earlier this week, and it's been 2 years since the last one was done. How has Loaves and Fishes seen homelessness evolve and change over that time?
It's a really good question. You know, the past couple of years, we've seen a really big increase in enforcement around homelessness since the Grants Pass Supreme Court decision. There have been hundreds of sweeps throughout Sacramento that really allows folks to be less visible and kind of go more underground and kind of evade those things, because it makes homelessness a crime, and folks sleeping out on the streets, there's not really any safe areas in the entire city of Sacramento where folks can be and be visible without that risk. And so that is kind of one of the big things that we're seeing that is an impediment to folks accessing services, not just at Loaves and Fishes, but at many of our other community partners as well.
Yeah, because on any given night, there can be several thousand people in Sacramento County experiencing homelessness, and there are far fewer shelter beds available and housing available. So how do you think this change with the Grants Pass being overturned, or the Grants Pass decision, how do you see this shaping this year's point in time count? Do you see it shaping this year's count?
I think the consistent pressure of the sweeps definitely affects visibility for folks. And I think the fact that we've been seeing it consistent for the last year and a half to 2 years, kind of as a local policy, it really erodes trust with folks, makes them not want to be seen, makes them not want to, you know, approach folks in reflective vests or anything that looks official, and kind of it makes them want to hide, because there is that fear that if you know, they're too visible, they could potentially lose everything and have to start all over with nothing. And that happens very consistently for folks, and we are kind of constantly navigating that as well.
Yeah, because the Grants Pass decision essentially reversed Martin versus Boise, and Martin versus Boise gave more leeway for people experiencing homelessness. If there weren't enough shelter beds available, you couldn't ask someone to be removed from public property. We've had you on in the years since, especially after the 2024 point in time count, which showed a 29% decrease in homelessness throughout the county, and you had some skepticism about that. Explain and help remind us why you were skeptical of a decrease during this time.
We kind of looked at our own data and the number of folks that we serve on average at Loaves and Fishes over that time period, and we saw roughly a 9-10% increase in the number of people and individuals that we were serving in that same time frame. So comparing that to a 29% decrease felt a bit incongruous with our experience on the ground around the same time period. I understand the PIT is a point in time. It's a snapshot. But I do think that the combination of really active sweeps and fear and things like that played a big part.
Tell us about the services that Loaves and Fishes provides.
Yeah, we focus really deeply on survival services and hospitality for folks who are homeless. We heard the gentleman earlier talk about not being welcome in very many spaces. We exist kind of in counter to that, and to create spaces on our campus where people are safe, are comfortable, and can find some respite from the rest of the world where they are mostly unwelcome and don't have a lot of respite spaces. Survival services look like meals, showers, hygiene items, school for kids that are kind of mining that gap between public schools while their parents are accessing other services.
Yeah, and when it comes to the people that you serve at Loaves and Fishes, and really for the point in time count, when people go out to canvass the area, I mean, as we just heard from that individual, they can be interviewed, they can be surveyed. I mean, that is optional. They can also decline as well. When it comes to the people that you serve on a daily basis, how much do they know about the point in time count?
You know, I think that in the past, their knowledge around that has been more prevalent. I think the past couple of years that there's been so much trauma around homelessness, and there are just so many people very deeply in that and in survival mode, that things like the point in time count are not quite on their radar as much as it has been in the past. And I think a lot of that has to do with the sustained trauma and just kind of the act of being in survival mode for so long really changes folks' brain chemistry and puts the emphasis on I keep using the word survival, but that's a real thing. Like, it puts the emphasis more on that than on kind of helping out with some of these other efforts. We've also seen a lot of folks really, we intentionally try to build trust with folks on our campus every day through small daily interactions, whether it's, you know, giving somebody a toothbrush or a shower or something like that. We've seen folks come in more and more guarded as they've kind of sustained more of these things. And it's a challenge. And I imagine that it will continue to be a challenge until these public policies shift and folks are afforded a little bit more compassion and empathy just in living their lives.
Trent, I want to bring you back in because Sacramento Steps Forward leads this point in time count. What kind of outreach is done to the unhoused community to let them know that these counts happen and that their voice matters?
I mean, a lot of it kind of varies. We try to partner with as many outreach teams as are willing to provide data and connections. We had great partnerships with the Department of Community Response with the City of Sacramento to really pull in 311 data to find out where people were located in advance of the count to really help our deployment strategy. We coordinated quite a bit with COHUO in Sacramento County on, again, receiving similar information. And the more that we have the ability to align where we're going and the information that we're pulling in, I think the more we're able to share that message. We also tried to make sure well in advance of the count that all of our providers knew when this count was happening. Of course, the PIT count itself, the thing that gets the most airtime is really the unsheltered portion of the PIT count. But it's really two pieces. It's counting those who are living on the streets, but it's also counting those who are living in shelters. And so we communicate pretty directly with service providers, especially those that are operating shelters, to make sure that we have an excellent capture of how many people had stayed in beds that night. So the conversations are ongoing.
And this point in time count, just as a reminder, it is federally required to happen every 2 years, but that's going to be changing in Sacramento County. It's now going to be taking place annually. Why is that the case?
I think there's a lot of reasons. I think one of the first things is that, you know, as our capacity improves, then our ability to do more also improves. The biennial point in time count is the baseline requirement from the Department of Housing and Urban Development. But the more that we can add more data points to the trends and see quickly if funding is and policy changes are improving or kind of altering the landscaping of the state of homelessness, it matters. It also gives us more opportunities to fact check the point in time count against HMIS data. None of our sources are really perfect, but the more that we can pull in multiple data sources, the more we can bracket the truth and have a much better understanding of the state of homelessness in Sacramento County.
Angela, what do you think about having this point in time count annually?
I think it's a great idea. I think I agree that the more data points that we have, the better we're going to be able to serve the folks that need us the most. Because, you know, every single one of those people that gets counted in that count is a human being, somebody's sibling, parent, brother, sister, and every single one of them deserves the best that we can offer.
If you had it your way, how would you like a point in time count to be conducted, given that it is a snapshot, but given, you know, policy changes, you know, in your words, you know, maybe it makes some unhoused residents less visible and less difficult to count and get that accurate snapshot?
I don't know that there will be kind of a perfect methodology, being that it's a point in time thing, but I agree that kind of comparing it to the HMIS data, which is more ongoing and collected more regularly, is a good way to kind of help explain that to the rest of the community and kind of what some of those disparities are. Those of us that kind of work in the world of homeless services can kind of contextualize that a little bit easier than most folks. So I think kind of combining those things is a good strategy.
Yeah. I mean, because the numbers translate to funding for resources and support for people who are unhoused and struggling with housing. Given that there was, at least when it came to the PIT count, a decrease in homelessness, I would imagine that translates to less funding. Did you actually see that at Loaves and Fishes?
We don't accept any type of government funding, so our funding wasn't contingent on kind of those funding sources and streams. I know that many of our community partners that we work with and provide referrals to folks with struggled with some of those contracts and things disappearing and difficult funding streams. And I know that the grant writing world has gotten more competitive for independent sources of funding because other folks and other nonprofits are afraid of those things going away and kind of on the local level and the federal level, and any number of policy decisions that are happening around homelessness right now are affecting that as well.
Yeah, Trent, I can see that being a double-edged sword, you know, there being progress and then getting less funding for organizations and nonprofits in the area when there is still a problem and a crisis that persists.
Yeah, and I think the other part of this too is it's not even just so much how much of the funding is there, but if the incentives or the requirements around that funding has changed. And so, of course, with the state funding, it's tied more directly to what your PIT is. But with the federal funding, having the massive shift that we saw in the most recent release of funding opportunity from HUD, it completely changed what types of programs they want to see funded. They provided a lot of incentives to bring on providers who haven't been funded in the past. And if you add that to what Angela is saying, where you have entities who are wary of getting into the game and kind of getting funded by the federal government because they might shift what they want to prioritize in the next cycle, it's difficult.
Well, Trent and Angela, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Angela Hassel is the executive director of Sacramento Loaves and Fishes. Trent Simmons is the chief program officer for Sacramento Steps Forward. And we've been breaking down the 2026 point in time count, which provides a snapshot of the number of unhoused residents in Sacramento County. It was conducted earlier this week. We should get results in the coming months. Up next, the counties surrounding the state capital, they're changing, and there are conversations about how to make this region livable as it continues to grow. We'll learn about a six-county blueprint looking to invest in transportation and housing in the coming decades. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.